Just a nugget to chew over before we enter into our final shir in the sugya of Sfiras Omer. Just to open the morning with a thought from during Musaf. I don't know, it never struck me before. Just famish pashup shot. Just a core nugget that you maybe you can expand upon over the course of the next day and a half. Just davening Musaf. The opening paragraph of the middle bracha, the bracha of Kedushas Hayom, Rosh Chodesh Olam Chanasato, where the Chazal describe Rosh Chodesh. If you think about what that opening paragraph tells us about what Rosh Chodesh is all about, it sounds like the core idea of Rosh Chodesh in many ways is Kapara. And if you just read the psukim, it seems, as you read the lines of that poetry at the beginning of the bracha, it sounds like what's being pointed out is a very simple and powerful reality, which is the most common chatas hatzibur is on Rosh Chodesh. And that in Chumash, the most distinctive thing about Rosh Chodesh is that it presents us with the most frequent opportunity for carbon chatas shel tibur. Tamid is just two kvasim for Ola. Shabbos, two additional kvasim for Ola. Rosh Chodesh, the most frequent time you come across a carbon chatas shel tibur. You have them on the Yom Tovim, those are rare. You have them from time to time when Kali Shal Kimitza, you have Parhel Ndavar Shal Tzibur, things of that sort. But the most frequent, common chatas hatzibur is Rosh Chodesh. And that's really the most distinctive, maybe the only distinctive feature of Rosh Chodesh in Tarshish Sab, in Chumash, in Chatas HaTzibur. Zman Kapar L'chol Tadosim. Yosem HaKriv Nechazir Chirazin, Sir Chatas HaKapar Badam. That's the most common Sir Chatas. Something to think about. We don't usually think about Rosh Chodesh as a day of Karpon Chatas. The famous difficult Agalata talks about the nature of the carbon chatzis of Rosh Chodesh, but just the notion that is the most common, most frequent opportunity for kapara satibur is Rosh Chodesh. The minig of kippur katan preceding Rosh Chodesh is built off of that, but at its core, looking in the Chumash, Rosh Chodesh is a time of kapara. Something to think about. I'd love to hear if you have thoughts about that over the next day or two. I'd love to get your feedback. It was just a nugget. Got to see where it takes you. Okay. Now, speaking of where things have taken us, we're at the we're ready now to pull together a lot of threads that have been building in terms of this question of Sfiras HaOmer, in particular, this mysterious shita of the Bahag. The Sur Shita Bahag, as reported in Tosis and Menachas, as reported in the Rush of Psachim, the Ran of Psachim, Bahag told us what? Bahag told us, you miss a day, you're out. You miss a day, you're out. Frektosis, lo yitachin, can't be. Rush explains, yes, but Tosis is so upset because every day is no mitzvah. Prima Gadim, the Eshal of Raman, Simon Tav Peitas, explains further, of course every day is a new mitzvah. Every day is a new bracha. Every day is a new mitzvah. New bracha, new mitzvah. Pashat. Isn't there raya machrachas that every day is a new mitzvah? Two steps of logic. If there's a new bracha, it must be a new mitzvah. And if it's a new mitzvah every day, then your performance one day is not impacted by your lack of performance the day before. That's a kasha on the Bahag. And as we have begun to develop the last shir or two, so there are two different ways to defend the Bahag, at least two ways that the Rav suggested, quoted in Eretz Tzitzis and Gimel, to defend the Bahag. And again, looking at, if you're doing a Hanacha analysis, you're looking, thinking about what are the Hanachas of Akasha, so that's the way I was presenting it, makes it very clear there are at least two Hanachas, each of which could be undone. One is it true that is it necessarily true that that it's that they're that each day is a new mitzvah. Or to put it differently, is it necessarily true that just because every day is new bracha, that therefore every day is a new mitzvah? Number one. Number two, Naniach Shekain, if it is true that every day is a new mitzvah, does necessarily follow that your non-performance one day won't impact performance a different day. So the first approach was to say, who says that every day is a new mitzvah? Okay, it's true, every day is new bracha, but maybe that's not a Raya Machrachas. What do you mean, isn't it? The new bracha is the new mitzvah. So you saw the Rav developed this idea in many, very multidimensional yisod about the connection between, and I want to reiterate this, because then some guys felt it was, didn't clarify 100% on Thursday, so I want to reiterate and clarify. So Rav developed a very multidimensional yisod, the takana of drabanan, of Birkas HaMitzvahs, is centered around the Masa Mitzvah, not the Kiyama Mitzvah. And that I say multidimensional because it plays itself out in Afkamina's several different facets of a dinim of Birkas HaMitzvahs. Number one, we spoke about, you see this connection between the Maisa Mitzvah specifically and the Birkas HaMitzvah, and the question of who makes the bracha. I'm doing the Maisa on your behalf. I'm doing the Maisa, but it's your Kiyama Mitzvah. I'm putting up your mezuzah. Most posts consume, I make the bracha. Why? It's your Kiyama Mitzvah. Yes, it's your Kiyama Mitzvah, but I'm doing the Maisa Mitzvah. And the bracha follows the Maisa Mitzvah. Number one. Number two, in terms of which bracha, which mitzvahs do not require a bracha whatsoever, which again, that already, we looked at Harosas, we looked at Maror, but that's part of a larger famous conversation to Tshuva of Yosef in Palak to the Raivad, which is quoted in the Tshuva's HaRashba, and quoted in the Avudraham. Avudraham was roughly a contemporary of the Rashba. He was, I think, a student of the Ramban also, or a student of a student. Who maybe or a student of Rush around that period, and he wrote Sefer on the Siddur. There's a Sephardi Rishon who wrote a Sefer on the Siddur. A lot of it has to do with demonstrating the psukim that are the sources for the language of brachas in the davening, the brachas of Shemoneh Esrei, and so on and so forth. Some are more obvious, some are less obvious. Refein Hashem v'nei Refei. Hoshem Vinu Vashaya is a paraphrase of Pasuk in Yeshaya. Avudraham works a lot in showing you know, which psukim are the basis for the language of the brachas and davening, and he talks a lot about the meaning of davening and about the halachas of davening. So he has this discussion about what's going on with Birkas HaMitzvahs. We mentioned Rabbeinu Manoach in the beginning of the last paragraph of Rambam Zilchus Brachas, an important place to look. And in the conversation about which brachas, which mitzvahs don't have brachos, so one of the common themes, one of the common criteria is there a ma'isa mitzvah? Is there a ma'isa mitzvah? Is there a well-defined ma'isa mitzvah? And when there's a well-defined, if there isn't a ma'isa mitzvah at all, like the mitzvah of emunah, or if there isn't a well-defined ma'isa mitzvah, like kibud av em, so then you're not going to have a bracha. So again, if one person is doing a ma'isa, another one has the kiyum, the bracha follows the ma'isa. If you have a mitzvah with no ma'isa or with a loosely defined ma'isa, no bracha whatsoever. Number three, before we go on to number three, that's what was going on, just to loop back, that's how we came to Charoses. We saw that specifically, Me'inyana D'yoma, in Charoses and in Mara. How do we see it in Charoses? How do we see it in Mara, in brief? Last time we spoke about the Yerushalmi, I don't want to get involved in that. But what we saw in Charoses, the Rambam seemed, as Lechem Mishnah pointed out, the Rambam seemed to have changed his mind in terms of whether we pass in Charoses a mitzvah or not, and more relevant at the moment, what the implications are. In the Perashah Mishnayis, the Rambam said that if you were to hold like the Tanner, Lazarus B'Tzadah, that Charoses is a mitzvah, then it's going to require a bracha. Because the Mishnah told her, he shifted his sock. He now does hold Charoses a mitzvah, yet still does not require a bracha. Which means he's not only shifted which Tana he holds like, he's also shifted, does Charoses mitzvah require a bracha? And the question which Lechem Mishnah points out is, well, why not? It was a good point he made in Pirush Mishnayos. If it's a mitzvah, requires a bracha, no? What's going on? My high, you hold now, as he got older, Rambam decided we should pass like Elazar B'Tzadik, but somehow there's no need for bracha. Why is there no need for bracha? So Rambam points out, if you read the language of Rambam in Mishnah Torah,
It seems like the Rabbi Mishnah Torah assumed that charoses is a mitzvah, but it's more a mitzvah of having a certain situation. It's not a mitzvah to do a particular action. It's not a chovas maisa as much as it's core, as much as it is a chovas matzah, or chovas totzah, or if you like, chovas chalois. It's not really a chalois, but a chov, a chiyuv to have a certain situation. To have, it's more, it's a mitzvah to have the charoses on the table, more than to do anything. Once you have it on the table, so we highlight as much as we engage as much as possible by dipping in it. But the essence is not a mitzvah of dipping, it's a mitzvah of having it. Vino sa'al shulvah. The language of Raman Perek Zion. That's what I'm suggesting. Yeah. If it's basically a mitzvah to have it there, so the focus aren't really, it's not so much a chovas maisa, at its core, just a chovas state of affairs. So then that's why there's no Raman. You understand well. Raman, Shuvaso Mitzido. He sets up the, when he paskins that it's a mitzvah and leaves out the bracha, he tells you right away. The mitzvah is Nevi'ah Sa'al Shulchan. The mitzvah is, it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah which is not primarily an act. So that came up by Morar also. That was a rough solution to the Shagas Arias Kasha, Shagas Arias Siman Kuf. How come the Rosh seems to say that I know that you need a Kazayas? I don't know you need Kazayas from Marar, because after all you make a bracha, and the bracha you say, I'll feel it's Marar. Really? Isn't that backward? That's what some of the Rosh said. The reason why you need Kazayas, because after all, the bracha you say, I'll feel it's Marar. It's very, very true you have a Kazayas. Very strange. So the Rosh had suggested, no. Well, the Rosh didn't talk about the core mitzvah of Daraisa of Marar. He's talking about the mitzvah Drabana of Marar. Not talking about the mitzvah Daraisa of Marar that comes together with Karban Pesach. That wasn't the Medugar. His question was, how about the Din Drabanan of Marar la'achar Churban? Of Marar, which is just Zechar al-Mikdash. That was the Rosh's question. Because man has that. We're eating Marar, but only Drabanan. It's not Hechsher the Pisa. It's not a covenant Karban Pesach. It's not. So I know what the Chumash says, but the question is that still applicable to Zman HaZeh? I mean, Man Torah is not. What did Chazal want me to do? They wanted to do exactly what we used to do in the Kufas HaMikdash, the mitzvah of Achilas Mar, or maybe it's just to make a zechem. Have a pop of Mar, a pop of color. A little bit, you know, Mar should, sort of what Charoses is. You want to have the Mar there, take a lick, have a bite. But not you have to have Kazayas. Nah, just a mitzvah of zechem. In the time, together with Beis HaMikdash, it's part of the Sachila. But now there's no Karban Pesach. It's Rabban, it's Zechel HaMikdash. Like Amemar said, actually, by Sfiras Omer. It's a Zecher B'Yalma, like Rashi explains, like Balmar, perhaps explains a little more. Zecher B'Yalma, so you don't have to do the full Maisa Mitzvah, just have something to Lahazkir, to be Dorish Tzion. It's not really a Mitzvah Sfiras Omer, it's a Mitzvah Dorish Tzion. As long as something will remind you of Beis HaMikdash, good enough. You'll be, not remind you, but you to be reconnected. So that was that, the Rav suggested. Was the Rosh Shaila? The Shaila he was pondering is what's this nature of Mar Drabanan Bizman HaZeh? And did Chazal just say you should make a Zecher? Or Chazal said because we're interested in accomplishing Zecher, that's our Tam, therefore Masaki should do real Ma'asachil. I think that's a good Shaila. And it was that Shaila that, and the perfect proof text for that Shaila about the nature of the Din Drabanan is to look at the Nusach of the Bracha, which is Drabanan. And that gives us insight into, the Pasuk might give us insight into what the nature of Din Daraisa, that's not my Shiloh. You're looking for a text to indicate, shed light on the nature of Din Drabanan, you look at the Bracha. And the Rambam suggested it's number one that there is a Bracha at all, and the Nusach HaBracha is Al Achilas Mar. The two things together, which aren't the reason why, but they are the proof that it's not the siva, but it's the siman. From the fact that there is a bracha, and from the fact that the nusach bracha includes achila, that indicate that when chazal or masake, mar drabanan, they were masake the real mitzvah achila. The tam hatakana was to make the echal mikdash, but the open hatakana, the surah hatakana was a real mitzvah achila, a real mitzvah achila. And now number one, it's language of the bracha is al-chilas mar, they could have said al-mitzvahs mar. And more than that, the fact that there's a bracha, this brings us back to this core point, the fact that there's a bracha at all, the rush, perhaps, that's the rush suggests, perhaps in the back of his mind, the rush is also thinking, but if this is a mitzvah of zecher, we all know, with no well-defined mitzvah, just have a little bit of mara. It doesn't have to be exias, just have some mara, that might not have warranted, it certainly wouldn't have warranted a al-achilas mara, it might not have warranted any bracha. Because that would already fall into, that would be in Harosis land. But it's not really so much a well-defined mitzvah. So again, we have a core notion of Birkas HaMitzvah being, the Takana of Birkas HaMitzvah being built around Maisa Mitzvah specifically. Nafkin number one, who makes a bracha? It's the one who's doing the mice, not the one who has the kiyum. Nafkin number two, which mitzvahs require bracha? All those mitzvahs have a well-defined Maisa, as opposed to Charoses, Lemaskana, as opposed to Habmiel and could have had by Mar, as opposed to Emuna, as opposed to Kibbut Adem, and so on and so forth. And then Nafkin number three, this Yisod of Birkas HaMitzvah, Maisa Mitzvah, is the Behag. That on the one hand, there's no Maisa Mitzvah, there's no Bracha. On the other hand, if there are many Maisa Mitzvah, there are many Brachas. And that's a solution to the response to the first step in the Re's logic, the way the Prima Gadam is building out, is you said, well, if there are many Brachas, must be many Mitzvahs. No. Many brachas doesn't prove many mitzvahs. Many brachas proves many maisa mitzvah. And that's certainly true. Everyone's going to agree that Sfiras Omer is composed of many maisa mitzvah. And as we said last time, not only many maisa mitzvah, not only there are 49 separate maisa mitzvah, but 49 incredibly distinct and separable maisa mitzvah that don't have even overlapping times. Zmano shel zeh lo kizmano shel zeh, which is something you don't really find elsewhere in general. Even if I were to consider, even if I were to conceive of doing Arba Minim, the Zach or Zed, instead of picking them all at the same time, but they all have overlapping times. I have multiple houses to do B'dikas Chametz on, or multiple rooms in a house to do B'dikas Chametz on, and maybe I have a Chiyuv B'dikas Chametz in my car. Yeah, but I physically cannot do all them simultaneously, but they're interchangeable time-wise. I can do the living room and then the dining room and then the den, or I could do the den and then the dining room and the living room. It's all the same as Zman Chiyuv. Here, these Maisa Mitzvah are absolutely non-overlapping in time. Zman Shal Zeh is all because Zman Shal Zeh, which therefore highlights the fact that these are highly distinct Maase Mitzvah. So then we understand, well, separate Maase Mitzvah, you can have separate Bracha. And again, just to repeat it, the first teretz, so the Kasha against the Behag is, yes, there are 49 brachas, but that doesn't mean it's every day is a new mitzvah. It means every day is a new ma'isa mitzvah. New ma'isa mitzvah with one kiyum mitzvah. And that defends the traditional understanding of the Behag that if you missed a day, you are absolutely out. And it comes out, if you missed a day, the whole thing never worked. Meirosh. You thought you were being a kiyum mitzvah, you were doing something with the first few days you counted, but now that we know you didn't make it to 49, it's like, lulav v'lad esrog, you tried, you get effort, you get points for trying, you get schar alicha, but you kind of nothing. Because there's one big key on a mitzvah. The mitzvah is the traditional approach to Bag. The mitzvah is to count all the days. If you didn't count all the days, every single day is ma'akev, every single other day. You didn't count, you missed it. I'm sorry. You tried. Baruch Hashem, you tried. That's a kim in Yerushalayim. It's a kim in Avos Hashem. It was an attempt at being Mekayim Sfiras Omer, but no Sfiras Omer. Sorry. You're out. You are out. So that is approach number one. Again, with this big, big yisod of Birkas HaMitzvah, Maase Mitzvah, so then we understand that the Prima Gadim Zaraya to the approach of Biotosis doesn't really play out. The fact that there are many brachas doesn't prove that there are many separate mitzvahs. No, I'm waiting very patiently. Correct, yeah, absolutely. That's a kashan. That's the response to Prima Gadim.
Right.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. Prima Gadim, Lechora is explaining the Rush. But as we'll see, there are two separate steps here. So in other words, because of the... Yeah.
Yeah, but the Rush is saying that
We'll get to the other teretz in a moment, but the logic if you plug the prima gadim into the re and the rush, so the two steps in logic. And the fact that there are multiple brachas, you see there are multiple mitzvahs, and if there are multiple mitzvahs, so then one should be independent of the other. So a teretz number one to the bag is to attack that first step. Just because there are multiple brachas doesn't mean there are multiple mitzvahs. The re just said there are multiple mitzvahs. The prima gadim explains how do we know there are multiple mitzvahs. So you say, no, maybe there aren't multiple mitzvahs. I, Prima Gadim, said, but you see there are many brachas. Okay, but it doesn't prove anything. It just proves there are many ma'aseh mitzvahs. It doesn't prove there are many mitzvahs. There are many ma'aseh mitzvahs. They add up to one mitzvah. Yeah?
So the only assumption made by answer one is that the mitzvah follows, the brachas follows the ma'aseh mitzvah and not the
kiyam? Right.
Or is there any more to the assumption?
That's the core yisod that underlies teretz number one. Is that right? The takana breaks mitzvahs relates to ma'aseh mitzvah in many ways, and specifically the number of brachas will be driven by the number of ma'aseh mitzvah. And therefore, 49 brachas indicates 49 ma'aseh mitzvah, but doesn't indicate 49 mitzvahs.
So the fact that there's a bracha implies that the mar itself is a
ma'aseh mitzvah. Yeah, and that it was a well-defined ma'aseh mitzvah. In other words, even mar drabanan is a formal mitzvah achila. With all the bells and whistles, you need a kazayas, the chayachiyas process, so on and so forth. It's not just, if you jump on, you have to epis have a little bit of mar. To remember, once upon a time, we used to eat mar with carpes. No. They wanted a real chazal masak and a real thoroughgoing, formalized maisachilas mar. Albeit mijabon. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't understand why we don't just say
that
the hag says the same one at the beginning. Is that.
You're saying, well, maybe the Bahag Taka only said one bracha. I don't think he did. I don't remember offhand. He's saying, you got to look in the Bahag. Does he actually say he say bracha every night? I believe he does say that he say bracha every night. But that would be a very clever answer. So, well, maybe a chanami. Look in the Bahag. Maybe Taka only said a bracha the first night. That would be yet another answer. Right? If you could demonstrate... Either you could demonstrate he only said one bracha, or at least you would show that he never said how many brachas you make, then a chanami. You could say maybe the teretz is, he takal made one bracha. L'shitesa. Yeah, I think, fair check. I believe he does talk about making a bracha every night. Or at least implies that. I think so. Yeah, that would be very clever. Gotta check. Yeah. Why is Dibur considered a Maisa? You say we're making a bracha on Sfiras Omer, what type of Maisa is that? Ah, that's a great, great, great question. You just know. The truth is you're touching on a much larger... You're touching on a much larger issue within a much, much larger issue. How you define Maisa in Halacha is a lovely, lovely question, which is a little bit beyond the scope of our shiur right now to do fully. There are several levels of what we mean by ma'isa in halacha. Specifically, in terms of dibur, the Gemara seems to say that dibur inhabits a middle ground. That it's sort of a ma'isa. So in some areas, halacha will say it is. Sometimes we'll say it's not. Sometimes we'll say it depends how impactful a dibur it is. And so the Gemara will differentiate between Diburis Abed Maisid. Was your dibur performative? Did it make a chalais? Then it's more of a maisid. If it didn't make a chalais, it's less a maisid. And sometimes not. Right, it comes up, let's say, with respect to Malchus. Ki b'chayiv Malchus for dibur. Ki b'chayiv Karban Chatzos for dibur. A Jew Rachman Letzlan. Chayiv Karban Chatzos for dibur. A Jew Rachman Letzlan was a Megadev Peshogeg. He blasphemed HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'shogeg. He didn't have a very deep theological education. So he thought there was mutter to blaspheme. He thought there was mutter to Mekalas Hashem. So he's Chayiv Chatas. Did it be mezid, skila or karas? Did it be shogeg, Chayiv Chatas? Is there maisa? Is there no maisa? Does it matter? How about Malchus? The person spoke Lashon Hara. You give him Malchus? Not give Malchus? Maybe yes, maybe no. He did some other aver by his voice. So that's a discussion. Gemara has that discussion. So sometimes we would say, so Yehuda, you're right. You see that from Sfiras HaOmer and Hallel. A beautiful Hallel this morning, Baruch Hashem. I'm a professional about tefillah. It's gorgeous. Nikra Megillah. Birkas Kohanim. There are a number. There aren't that many mitzvahs we make brachas on. And out of the list, a sizable chunk are mitzvahs amir. So great, that's a very good point. It's clear that for the purpose of birkas hamitzvahs, amira makes the cut as a maisa. Correct. Yeah. Work our way around the room. No. Okay. Yes.
Why
are we using
Tzaras if those things we say get the hag gets in it on the pasuk of females? What was that? Those things we claim the hag is being
just based on the pasuk of females, not as tzaras. Why would we make tzaras to say the hag? Yeah, correct. Tosa says the hag is based on females, meaning, which Tosa understood to mean there's one big mitzvah. Presumably, if you miss, you're out. And Tosa says, that's not true. That's what the Rush quotes to read. Don't tell me that it's one big mitzvah. It's not. Every day is a new mitzvah. So the question is, well, why was Tosa convinced every day is a new mitzvah? And how would the Bahag respond to that? So Tosa was convinced every day is a new mitzvah. The people got him to suggest because, well, yeah, every day is a new bracha. It must be every day is a new mitzvah. So whatever you do with Tamimos, doesn't mean it's one big mitzvah. And the Bahag could respond, no. Tamimos does tell me it's one big mitzvah. You said, yeah, why were there 49 brachas? Nah, that's irrelevant. 49 brachas is 49 maisim. It doesn't tell me it's 49 separate mitzvahs. No, it's one big mitzvah. And again, you're right, coming back to Tamimos, the question is, in terms of this argumentation, correct or incorrect, this is how it plays out. So that is approach number one. That's the classic understanding of the Bahag. That's the way Tosa, as you're saying, Tosa seems to understand the Bahag meant one big mitzvah. Tosa thought, how could it be one big mitzvah? So it turns out, no, it is one big mitzvah. And the fact that there are 49 brachas doesn't mean 49 mitzvahs. And the other teretz, please turn to the other teretz. Take a look at this remarkable Sefer Achim. Mitzvah Shel Vav. Here, if you're looking in the packet, down near the end of the first column, Yesha Amru. First column of the second page. Yesha Amru Shemishach Shachach V'lomana Yom Echad She'en Yacholim Nos Od Ba'os Hashana. Chinuch says, there are those who say, if you forgot a day, you can no longer count that year. You lost the cheshvan is batel. It's interesting language. Our rebbeim in this dar did not agree that svar. Again, we don't know who the sefer chinuch was, but we think he's either a talmud or a grand talmud of the Ramban. So he might be talking about the Ramban or Rabbi Yonah. He might be talking about the Rashba or Rabbi David. The Ra'ah. At one point, it was thought that the Sefer Chinuch was written by the Ra'ah. That's now assumed not to be the case. But he talked about the famous Chachmei Sfarad. They disagree. Mishashachem Yom Echad Yomar, what should you do if you missed a day? You say, Emesh Hayukach below Bracha. Umona Achirim Kol Yisrael. How do you translate that? Emesh is yesterday. Emesh Hayukach below Bracha. Yesterday were this such and such without a Bracha, meaning that you don't say the words below Bracha. It means you say, yesterday was 28. Baruch Atah Hashem came on. Huh? Say bracha. Tonight's 29. So the question is, what's that? What are you doing? If you hold that yesterday is not ma'akivin today, so yesterday is not ma'akivin today. But if you hold yesterday was ma'akivin today, there was. But you say, well, is it like tshuva? I'm doing tshuva. I'm saying, achet shechatav fanach Hashem can't guess I didn't. Gaval Hashem can't guess I was 28. Ahirurei tshuva. And now let me count 29. Yeah. So what? LMI, yeah. Right. So what they seem to be concerned by, how they understood the Bahag is a good question. Do they think the Bahag meant what Tosa thought or not? But they are raising an issue. And perhaps this is an alternative understanding, so Rav suggests an alternative understanding of what's driving the Bahag himself is an issue of continuity. That's not a question of it's one big mitzvah, and if I missed out yesterday, so now I'm out. But rather that it's every day is a new mitzvah. Just I can't count today if I didn't count yesterday. Not if I didn't have a kiyum hamitzvah yesterday. If I didn't count yesterday. It's not just a mitzvah to say a number, it's a mitzvah to count. It's a mitzvah to count. So to count implies certain things. Above and beyond just saying language. There might be four different things that a pu'ula of counting involves over and above just saying a certain nusach, saying certain words. One of them is continuity. If I have a chiyuv to say tonight is five la'omer, I can say tonight is five la'omer. Right? Apropos of nothing. But if it's a chiyuv to count that tonight, not a chiyuv to say the words tonight is five la'omer, it's a chiyuv to count what night it is. So to say tonight is five la'omer, if I didn't count four, I'm saying the words, but I'm not counting. 1, 2, 5 is not counting. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 is counting. Counting without consecutiveness is felt in the etzem ahus of the counting. I said the words, but that's not a count. It's not a sphere. It's not a mirror. It's not a sphere. What this represents is an alternative understanding of what the Bahag was trying to say. And let me just explain briefly, and then I'm glad to take questions. And then after the Gemara, all the Nafkaminas in this yourself. Again, the notion is like this. The notion is to say, not that, yes, let's defend that the Bahá'í was really traditional to understand the Bahá'í attack as one big mitzvah, and then that can explain in the miyasha of the Prima Gavis Kasha. No. Tosus is right. The Rebbe was right. Every day is a new mitzvah. But where the Bahá'í disagrees is in the second step. It's sure every day is a new mitzvah. But just because every day is a new mitzvah doesn't mean that if you miss a day, you're fine the next day. Why? Not you have to mekayim the mitzvah every day for the next day, but you need to have counted. And let me flesh out the truth is the Minchas Chinuch captures this idea in a line or two that easily gets missed in the famous Minchas Chinuch's handle about what's it called? It's not in the packet. About Niskatush and his God will be Mea Sphira. So he has one line where he says, what do you do? Kaddish is God Mea Sphira. Kid becomes Bar Mitzvah. The 23rd of the Omer. So is he going to start continue counting? Up until now he's counting for the Bracha Zakatan. But now he's a Gadol. So there's room to say there's vis-a-vis godless, what he did as a cotton doesn't count. It's not called a kiyam mitzvah. Is it called a kiyam mitzvah? It's not called a kiyam mitzvah. So maybe I should say, it's keilu, he didn't count the first 22 days. And maybe he can make a bracha. So the Minchas Chinuch attacks this from several approaches. Number one, if you don't hold like the Bahag, so that's fine. Okay. Even if you hold like the Bahag, one issue he raises, well, we could clear something we spoke earlier in the year with Yana and Melech. Maybe the mitzvah of a katan counts for a gadol, or maybe not. The Rashi, Tosfos, Freilich. Then he throws in, if you're reading carefully, at one point where he throws in a whole different svara. He says, maybe he wasn't a mekayim, maybe from the point of view of his new godless, he was a mekayim nothing the first 22 days. Okay. But he counted. Maybe it's not tolei, the Minchas Chinuch has one line, he says, maybe it's not tolei in chiyuv and patur. Or let's take it to the next step, he says. Let's say you have an Eved Kenani. There's no Chiyuv Chinuch who counted the first 22 days. Or let's take it a step further. Beyond the Minchas Chinuch. Let's say, just this past Shabbos, I met a fellow, very sweet fellow, who's learning to, who's interested in Geirus, and is learning more about Yadus, and the prize is coming to Shul, and working towards Geirus. Let's say a non-Jew just becomes a Geir in the middle of Sphere. So definitely no, he was counting. He was typically a non-Jew interested in converting will gradually take on more mitzvahs. Presumably can't be fully Shomer Shabbos until the Geirus, but begin to take on more and more of the actions of mitzvahs, the lifestyle of mitzvahs, and it comes out of the mikvah, he's keeping everything. So he was counting Sphira. He was counting Sphira. He wasn't Mekayim anything, he was getting ready. So he was counting Sphira. He was coming to Shul every night. Can't his fear. And on day 23, he goes to Mikvah. So now what? So presumably we should tell him to count again for 23. Okay, now you're Jewish. Count again. And we're not going to tell him to count with the bracha because it's daytime. How about tonight? So he's 24. With a bracha, no bracha. He said, he wasn't mekayim anything, for sure. The first 23. He wasn't a katzin. He wasn't ever garnished. He had no kiddushes Yisrael. There was no kiyum the first 23 nights. But the Minchas Chinuch says, again, if you hold like, you don't like the Bahag, so of course, pick up now the bracha. Even if you don't like Bahag, the Minchas has a line, he says, well, maybe it doesn't depend on Chiv and Petur. Well, it doesn't depend on Chiv and Petur. So what the Minchas Chinuch is capturing is this second teres of the Rav. In other words, it's not about one big mitzvah, but it's, you can't, to be called counting, it has to be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, that's a count. But I was counting. It wasn't halachically, there was no kima mitzvah because he wasn't mechuyev bedavar, he wasn't mitzvah bedavar, he wasn't Jewish. But he was a sentient human being who was counting. He did count. There was no halachic fulfillment. Okay. But he counted 1, 2, 3, all the way to 23. So tonight, he's Jewish, he's in count 24. He wasn't mekayem anything the first 23 days, but tonight will be an act of stira. Because I have counted for 23, I'm up to 24. And now that I'm Jewish, I'm going to get a mitzvah for counting. Yesterday I counted, it wasn't a mitzvah, just counting. Historical significance. Yesterday it was just cultural significance, because yesterday I wasn't Jewish. And now that it came out, now that I'm a ger, so now I'm going to continue. I can, the act of counting, it will be an act of counting, and now it's a mitzvah. So that's the second approach to the Bahag. And that may be, you have to figure out whether the chinuch thought, the Bahag himself thought there or not. The chinuch was responding, well, maybe we can even solve that discontinuity by, say, doing it today. Okay, if a hot thought, you can't do that. Fine. But in terms of what the core issue is, again, the first approach to the Bahag is to defend the notion that the Bahag is all about one big mitzvah, and maybe we can explain why it's taka really true it's one big mitzvah, despite the fact that multiple brachas. The second Teretz of Bahag is say, no, it's taka not one big mitzvah, but there's still, if you're missing out, but not because it's one big mitzvah, you're out now. If you count it to 27 and miss 28, and here's the key nafkin between two terutzim, and then we'll take questions. According to first Teretz, if you counted it, made it through 27, you missed 28, it comes out you're mekayim nothing. You tried for 27 nights, Avos Hashem, Yer Shamayim, beautiful, you tried, but no Sphere Summer whatsoever. According to the second approach, even the Bahag would say, if you count to 27, all the way first 27 nights, you missed 28, so you cannot count 20, there's not no Kima count 29, but you were Mekayim in the midst of the first 27 nights. You counted. You were counting consecutively. Now that you missed 28, so it's not Shabbat to count 29, because even if you say the words, it won't mean anything. It won't be a counting. But the first 27, you're Mekayim. Nafkamina, if I know I'm going to miss, should I stop saying the bracha already? Nafkamina. Nafkamina, conscious Galim and Sphere. Right? If I counted, the two opposite Nafkaminas, but they take in the same direction. They form the split between the two approaches to understanding the Bahag. Let's take a bunch of questions. Yossi, we'll work our way around the front. You say if it's just, you're asking if it's just a question of continuity, so how could you disagree with the Chinuch's solution? The Chinuch had said, so this, you should just say, last night was 28 and tonight's 29. Why isn't that good? Why isn't that's a good question? Maybe because, maybe not only serious, not only counting, but not just listing the sequencing numbers, but counting items. This is one, and this is two. If I have a bushel of apples, a basket of apples, so this is one apple, two apples, three apples, four apples. Now you're thinking about my subahema. I'm counting my sheep as they pass by. This is one, this is two, this is three, and this is ten. Right? And there actually is there's clearly a chalos d'oraisa in the counting. I count ten, and that makes it my subahema. So here I'm counting the days. So I could definitely make the argument that the mitzvah is to enumerate the days. And once a day is gone, there's nothing left to enumerate.
Well, you can just be like, if you're counting sheep or whatever, or apples, and you got up to six, and people are like, oh, you forgot to count five, you'd be like, okay, well, this one counts for 7 or whatever it is. So you could be like, oh, I forgot 2 days ago to count Omer, I'm up to 9, but 2 days ago that was, everyone else is up to 10. So
I'm just continue counting, but differently than everyone else?
No, I'm saying, like, if today was 5, and everyone else is, I thought today was 5, everyone else is counting 6, right? Because I missed the day. I missed the count, or whatever it is. You can just be like, if it's just counting, you'd be like, oh, a couple days ago, I missed that count, but I'm still in the order.
I don't want to get into involved in Hilchos Ma'aseh Behemah. If you want to learn the circuit, talk for Cohen. I highly recommend it. But at least in principle, if I realize a sheep walked through without getting counted, I could, again, leaving aside halachas and ma'aseh behemah, I could say, okay, let's bring that sheep back, we'll count it. Because the sheep walked by, but it's still here. That's the difference. After a sheep walks by me, the sheep is a physical, palpable item, which might move to a different location, but still exists. Or time is different. The day is gone. The day is not here anymore to be counted. If I was counting logs of firewood, twigs, as I throw them into a fire, I have my 10 pieces of chametz, right? And I'm throwing them into a fire, I'm counting one by one. Right? So it's already burnt up, there's nothing left to count. There's no chiv to count my pieces of chametz. But there's nothing left to count, I can't count it. So the day is gone. The day has passed, it's not here. I don't want to get overly philosophical how you think about time. But time flow is different than physical items. So I hear, and again, I agree. You're looking at me and saying that's not such a svar machrachas. And that you could, it's a debatable svar. I agree it's a debatable svar. That's the debate between the chinuch and the bahag. So that's the chinuch said, no, you could paper it over. And the bahag says you can't paper it over. And there are two sides to the issue. But you can see both the svara for both sides. Ziv.
What if we're saying, doesn't it seem like, I'm not sure how it fits with the Chinuch anymore, say, according to the Mahag, the Chinuch seems to be saying, if you should clone the Zakasi straight up. And then when he presents this other idea of counting yesterday and then counting forward, that seems to be saying Tosos holds.
Great, well, he doesn't say Tosos holds that. But very good. That's why, I'm glad you know, that's what I said before. That I'm not sure what the Chinuch thought the Bahag held, but it's clear that the Chinuch's Rabbeim were concerned with this issue and had a solution for it. And the Rav suggested that the Bahag himself held this way. You're right, the Chinuch says, when in describing the Bahag, says, Kul mitzvah achasi. But then he says, my Rabbeim, not by Atosis, my Sfardi Rabbeim didn't hold of this. But they clearly were concerned. They may have been trying to respond to, they weren't worried about mitzvah achasi, but what they were worried about is a lack of continuity, and here was their solution.
But doesn't that mean still in this individual sense? Meaning, if we were to apply this back to what the Tag actually holds, it seems like the one thing that's clear in the Chinuch, even if we're going to say that the solution is Rebbeim, is then plugging in the Tag, that's more mitzvah, you know?
What the Rav suggested is that what his Rebbeim were worried about and thought they had a solution to is exactly what the Baha'i was worried about but didn't like the solution.
But then when the Baha'i still says one is
fine. Not necessarily.
But then,
I understand. That's what I said. Lav Dav, as I said before. Lav Davka, that the Chinuch is the Chinuch's presentation of the the Hag, but the Chinuch is raising an idea which could be used to provide alternative understanding of the Bahag. Because the Chinuch's Rabbeim were bothered by, the Chinuch's Rabbeim recognized a problem with missing the dead. But they thought they had a solution. Solution is, count yesterday. You know, mention what you missed. But they're clearly implying that aside from the question of is it one big mitzvah, there's a separate problem, which is you can't count without continuity. So they said they had a solution, which the Bahag perhaps agreed with the problem and didn't agree with the solution. Beautiful. In the Chanami, Taka is, it's four and separate, absolutely it's four and separate mitzvahs. Going back to how we started, right? The way Prima Gadam and Rush are presenting, there are 49 brachas and there are 49 mitzvahs. And if there are 49 mitzvahs, then one does not impact the other. So either you say, just because there are 49 brachas doesn't mean there are 49 mitzvahs. Or you say, no, that's fine. 49 brachas, therefore there are 49 mitzvahs. But just because there are 49 mitzvahs doesn't mean that one is always independent of the other. They're not independent. Why are they not independent? Each one is a separate mitzvah, but if you leave one out, it could be you can never do any other subsequently because of this concern of continuity. Absolutely. If I say, what's a good example? If there's a mitzvah, zinyan diyema, now we're writing the first day of Rosh Chodesh year. So the Sifrei Rambam, the Sefer Mitzvahs, Kosa Sifrei, Gilma Mitzvahs, Nesav Yisrael, B'Knisas, and Larks. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us three mitzvahs that apparently go in order. L'habu L'hem Melech, L'hachos Jara Shal Malek, Livnos Beisa Bechir. So one way of reading that braisa means you have first time you have to have a Jewish government, ideally a king, and then you have to destroy a Malek, and then you have a mitzvah to build Beis HaMikdash. Right? So you have that talking in Sefer Shmuel, and Sefer Melachim. Right? We say Hamad Has Melech, Shaul, David, Shaul has the opportunity to kill Amalek, is not so successful. Okay? David does some more. And then, subsequently, but they did a lot of Krisis Amalek, not 100%, they did a lot of Krisis Amalek. The Krisis Amalek only comes after Hamad Has Melech, and subsequently you have Lahamed, the Livnos Beis HaBechir. Right? Does that, because their mitzvah have to be done in order, does that mean that they're all one mitzvah? No. I understand. Sure, absolutely. I'm sorry, you look like you're in such pain. I would love to relieve your pain. I'm serious, I'm not joking. There's someone who says, presumably the Baha'i, you missed a day, and you can all count this year. Why? Shukulam Mitzachasi. And as I said before, the chinuch here does sound like he's saying, and he may indeed believe that the Bahag understood the Bahag the way Tosas did, namely that the Bahag, that what's driving the Bahag is one big mitzvah. Huh? Fair. Maybe not. Okay. Became Sheshachach Mehen Yomecher Reikol Cheshma Batlemen. So the whole Moreinership is during Lisvarzu. But my Rebbeim, our Rebbeim in this Dar, again, maybe reference to Rabban, the Rashba, didn't agree to this. So what do you expect to hear at this point? They said, no. It's not one big mitzvah. That you, if you miss a day, you're out. They say, if you miss a day, you're not out. So what we expect to hear, what we hear from Baal Tosas, is no. Every day is a separate mitzvah. And move on with life. But that's not, that wasn't the Sephardi approach. Well, you move on life, but you got to do something else. You can't just count 29 tonight. The Baal Tosas said, you missed 28, so count 29 tonight. And the Sephardim said, you missed 28, tonight you should say, last night was 28, and tonight's 29. El Misha Shachar, this is what Moreinu Shibadurainu said, Misha Shachar Yomechad Yomar, Emesha Yokach, below bracha. First, before you make the bracha, and the Mekayim Tanis Rizom, you have to first say, last night was 28. And then you say, Baruch Ata Hashem, etc. Sfira Sa'omer, tonight's 29. Mamona HaChem Im Kol Yisrael. You count the rest with all of Klaus. Im Kol Yisrael also sounds like, it's a very dramatic language. Perhaps that also has to do with sort of part of your continuity. Not only that you said that last night was 28, but that you sort of plug into the fact that the rest of Klaus Yisrael is counting 29. That sort of gets me back on track. But be that as it may, what you see, you see subtly in the correct. That's what I was trying to say before. It's not about the way he quotes the Bahag. It's about the way he quotes his Rebbeim responding to the Bahag. Correct. I'm not saying, no. I'm not saying that this is what the, I don't think the Rav was saying that this is what, how the Chinuch presented the Sheet of the Bahag. But what I was trying to tell you before, is that you see in the Chinuch that the Chachma Esfarad were sensitive to a new concern. And we could suggest that maybe that concern was driving the Bahag as well. The Chachma Esfarad, the Chinuch's Rebbeim, were sensitive to concern, and they thought they had a solution. What was their concern? Their concern was, how can you count if you don't have continuity? And their solution was, I can create continuity post facto. Okay. So that's a discussion I was having with Yossi before. The Rabosav of the Chinuch thought you could create continuity post facto. Bahag maybe didn't agree with that. That's a very speculative. You create continuity post facto. They isn't even here anymore. Mechatesi. So when you read the Morenu Shebedorenu carefully, you come across a new issue. A new issue which we could then use to say that's an alternative way of looking at the whole Baha. I don't think this has to be overly complicated. Think about it. And let me just wrap this all together. I'm glad to take more questions afterwards. I don't want to lose the thread. I don't want to lose the continuity. Haha. Which I'm afraid we're already in danger of doing. So again, two teretz in the Bahag, and let's build out the last one to drop more. Two teretz in the Bahag. Bahag said, you miss a day, you're out. One approach is, in a chanami, you miss a day, you're out, because it's one big mitzvah, even though there are 49 brachas. Therefore, if you miss a day, l'mafrei, you're never mekayim anything. Okay. The second approach is, no, you miss a day, you're out. Not that it ruined retroactively the previous days. Second approach is, no, it's not that it's one big mitzvah. Every day is a separate mitzvah. Just that in order to count, you need to have already counted all the previous days. Otherwise, this is not called counting. You said the word tonight is 29, but you haven't counted 29, because to count 29 means to count from 1 to 29. Okay. And now that notion that it's not just a mitzvah of amira, it's a mitzvah of sphira, it's something more than just saying the words, it's something called counting, which might have more elaborate expectations than just saying certain words. That plays itself out in probably at least three other ways as well. Three other nafkaminas in this notion that it's not just a mitzvah to say a certain nusach, it's a chova sphira. There are two shitas of the Magen Avraham. That was the added Maram HaKavos from last week. The Magen Avraham, near the beginning of Tav Tes, makes the following two suggestions, which Mishnah Berurah picks up on, and Minchas Chinuch quotes both of them. That Sfira Sa'omer is an exception to the usual rules of verbal mitzvahs in the following two ways. Number one, let's do them out of order. Number one, there's no Shomea Ka'onim. The Magen Avraham suggests that I could be yotze with your bracha, but I cannot be yotze with your Sfira. Even though I could be yotze generally, almost everything, almost every verbal mitzvah lends up to Shomea Ka'onim. There are a handful of exceptions. It's inappropriate to be yotze. Generally, it's inappropriate to yotze someone else's tefillah. Shidam for myself. Lo yafe. Yotze someone else's expression of kabbalah samap shamayim. Lo yafe. Back yotze your kiddush. Yotze your halal, perhaps. Back yotze your megillah. Why can't I be yotze your sfira sa'omer? To some hold, you can. Magen Avraham thinks you cannot. The question is how you read the medrash. Lachem, Svartim Lachem, La'atzmachem. Magen Avraham means you have to count yourself with your own mouth. I cannot be yotze with your counting. Why not? Why is it different than Megillah? Why is it different than Shofar? Why can't I be yotze with your sphere somer? You said Hayom Chemishi Yom Omer. I listened very carefully. Why can't I be yotze? Kilo, I said it. Problem number one, Magen Avraham. The other sheet of the Magen Avraham is another exception to the usual rule of verbal mitzvahs, is that Mishnah and Gemara in the second part of Megillah tell us that normally I can do mitzvahs in Hebrew, verbal mitzvahs I can do in Hebrew. Some verbal mitzvahs I can do in translation, also some not. And that's a Mishnah in the seventh parak of Sotah. There are certain verbal mitzvahs that must be done in the original Hebrew, like Birkas Kohanim, like Chalitza, you cannot be yotze in translation. And then the Eil Ne'emar and B'chol Lashon. There's a list of mitzvahs you can do, you can fulfill translation as well. Kriya Shema, Birkas HaMazon, and Tefillah, if I don't speak Hebrew, if I
can't handle the Hebrew. I can say in English. Open up an art scroll and bench in English. Go ahead. Say Kriya Shema in English. You know the famous story of Briskarov? Tell you the story of Briskarov? By Asaph? Yeah. Last week or earlier in the year? Briskarov was very, very, very revelable. Was very, very, very machbid on the proper pronunciation of the words of Kriya Shema. And you get very, very concerned about this. So that's the line about Shema, right? The breast of the brisket, no? So some other time. So Briskarov, like, some say words like until he got the word out, until he was happy that he had pronounced it right. So probably one time someone overheard him, he was trying to say the word, he got stuck in Vahayim Shema, the word Esav. Esav b'sazcha. Esav, like, he kept saying it, he wasn't happy the way it was coming out. He kept trying. And finally just said, Groz. Yiddish, grass. That he knew he was pronouncing correctly. So because Kriyat Shema is never b'chalashim. Okay. Sure. So it's a way to remember the mission. It's a way to remember the mission itself. So some other time you remind me of telling you the line about the brisker and the breastliver who are roommates. But anyhow, so you, there are many mitzvahs, you can, verbal mitzvahs, you can be Mekayim b'chol lashon in translation. But that's in Sota Perek Zayin. In Megillah Perek Beis we learn that even when you're able to Mekayim in translation, there's still a difference between Hebrew and translation. What's the difference? The translation only Yotzei, if you understand it. So if I listen to them, we can discuss reading Megillah in English if I'm an English speaker. We can discuss reading Megillah in Sanskrit if I'm a Sanskrit speaker. But there's nothing to talk about, but to read Megillah in Sanskrit if I'm an English speaker, for sure not Yotzei. Masha Enoke in Hebrew. Hebrew, you're automatically Yotzei. Reading the original, better to understand, but either way you're Yotzei. And I presume it's true for Kriyat Shema and so on and so forth. Mitzvahs of Amir, those mitzvahs of Amira, which you can do in translation, but only if you understand the translation. But Hebrew, you don't say Mikol Makom. You say Kriyat Shema in Hebrew, not very ideal to not understand what you're saying, but presumably you will be, as if you have a basic sense of Kavanah's Pasagrishan, you will be Yotzei. You say Birkas Hamazon in Hebrew, you don't know the Hebrew, not ideal, but you're Yotzei. Says the Magen Avraham, because you can't swear a Omer in Hebrew, you don't know what it means, you're Yotzei. Zero. He says Hebrew translation doesn't matter if you don't understand it, you're not Yotze, which is actually very important. If people don't know how to count in Hebrew, if it feels traditional to count in Hebrew, then hey, but then make sure you say it in English. You can say Hayom Chamisha Asayom Shem Shnei Shavuos Yom Echad BaOmer. Say today is 15 days, which is 2 weeks and a day to Yomer. There's a little kid in your house, a younger sibling who's counting Sfiras Omer, is getting into the mitzvah. You may want to, say along with him or her in Hebrew and English. They're not yet old enough to really know what Shloshim V'Sheva means. So, say in English. And Hebrew. Get into practice saying Hebrew, but also say in English. Now everyone agrees with Magen Avraham, but that's what Magen Avraham holds. So again, Magen Avraham presents Shvias Omer as an exception to two global rules of verbal mitzvahs. No Shamei Ka'oneh, and no automatic free pass in Hebrew. Even in Hebrew you have to understand, and you must say it yourself. Why? L'chora, the same reason. Because it's not just a mitzvah to say certain words. It's not a mitzvah to say words, it's a mitzvah to count. It's the same way to say the words, but if you're not counting consecutively, it's not counting. Certainly, to say Adin Dvatir Shatira, if you know what that means, you just count it in Russian. But if you don't, you didn't count in anything. What are you counting? If you don't know what you're talking about, how are you counting? To count implies understanding. To count and understanding is meaningless. Because that's what it means to count.
Say, so, you just look at the number. If you look at the number right next to, if you see the number, but you also see just the numbers on the side, you know what it
is. Okay, so if you understand what you're saying, you understand what you're saying. Okay, then you know what you're saying, perhaps. But if you just say, I'm saying long, repeat after me, Hayom Chamish Yom Al Omer, you say, Hayom Chamish Yom Al Omer, I say, we just counted the number of Sfira tonight. Okay, what number was it? I don't know. But I said, Hayom Chamish Yom Al Omer. So it's not an incantation. It's not a mitzvah to say a certain formula. It's a mitzvah to count. Counting implies the mental activity, Yehuda, of creating this one-to-one correspondence. So if I don't understand what it is, if I don't know what I'm saying, I may have said the words, but I haven't counted. And then the Magaram seems to go a step further and saying, I have to count. So maybe Ke'ilu, I said the words, Me'echa Tezvi Shamei Ka'ona, where he makes the Ke'ilu, I counted. Ke'ilu, I said the words. Shkoyach. It's not Ke'ilu, I counted. And then finally, one last nafkamina, this idea of there's a mitzvah sphira, that's a higher pool than merely amira. In addition to saying you need consecutive, sphira implies consecutiveness. And sphira might imply doing it myself. And sphira implies understanding. The Devar Avraham suggests that sphira also implies certainty. That to count has to be with certainty. Just like you can't count 1, 2, 5, you've said, you've recited numbers, but you haven't counted. So to say, maybe it's 3, is not accounting. The Dvar Avraham actually suggests that if I don't know what night it is, I forgot what night it is, and I said, I think it might be 4, I'm not really sure. Because maybe it's 4. He says, even if it turns out you're right, you're still with Yote nothing. He says, if to count with uncertainty, it's not that, maybe I wasn't Yotze because maybe it's really 3. Even if it's 4, I wasn't Yotze. Vada not Yotze because the act of Sphira implies with certainty. That's what it means to count. And Dvar Avraham suggests, we talk about this, Dvar Avraham suggests that answers the mystery. That's his very, very original answer to the old mystery of why is it that we don't, Baal Amor already on the side of the riff already raised this question. How come there's no Sfeika Diyoma? Sfiras Omer. Right? Sfiras Omer is supposed to start the first time of Chol Hamoed Pesach. So, in Eretz Yisrael, that's what happens. In Chutz La'aretz, we start the second Hag Yom Tov. The second Hag Yom Tov, that means the next night is Sfeik. If the first day was Yom Tov, so then that night is first of the Omer. But the second day is Yom Tov, then the next night is the first of the Omer. So why not the second night of Yom Tov? We should count both. Hayom Echad La'Omer, Hayom Shneyom La'Omer. And then we should count 2 and 3. And then we should count 3 and 4. Sfeik Yom all the way through. So there are different answers to why we don't. The Dvar Avraham says, nah, you know why we don't count Sfeik? Why do we do anything Sfeik Yom? The Gemara Beis Yosef said, we're continuing the way they acted when there really was a suffering. Minikam said it can be a day. So, and when they had a suffering, during those couple hundred years, from when they got rid of the torch signals, in the middle of the Bayi Sheni period, because of the Tzedukim, until the days of Bayi Rava, and Hillel HaSheni, when they ended the Sanhedrin, Shalchu Mitam, a fixed calendar, for those 400 or 500 years or so, there was a real Sfeik Yoma. Jews outside Eretz Yisrael were keeping 2 days Yotzer. They're making 2 stones. They really didn't know which night is Pesach, which is the first night of Pesach. Make a seder both nights. Something to ask the woman. He says, John Abraham says, and how do you think they count the Sfeir Solomon? He says, they did not. They did not count the Sfeir Solomon at all. At all. Because, or at least until they were Mavar and say Yoma. Because if you're not sure that tonight's 1 or 2, then he says you're Mekayim nothing. Even if you say both of them, you're Mekayim nothing. Because you said nothing with certainty. There's no point. Why? That's a wild Kishon Dvar Avraham, the Kav Nerav. He says that for a couple hundred years, Jews and Chutzlaretz didn't count Sfeiras Omer. And I'll give you a riot. I don't remember if he brings this riot. But I'll bring you a riot from the Gemara. It's not a riot from the Gemara. It does say it's a riot from the Gemara, but it does not appear in the Gemara. I think this is a perfect way to come full circle. And we got started by just taking a look, careful look at the Gemara. Remember how short it was?
Yes.
The vast majority of the sugya is all of the different rites that different Tanan brought, that Bakhtar Shabbos means the Tezai Nisan and not Sunday. And then you actually like the 3.5 lines of Gemara about counting days, counting weeks, Abaya, Neymar, Rabbanu, Rashi, boom. Very brief. And all those Amoraim are later Amoraim. Late, from the end of the Tekuvah Samar, Abaya and later. But Rama writes that, Rama works out historically, that
when the Sanhedrin ended in Eretz Yisrael, Hillel HaSheni, he recognized he was going to be the last Nasid because the Romans were succeeding in ending Smicha in Eretz Yisrael, and you can't have real Smicha outside Eretz Yisrael. It wasn't going to be a Sanhedrin any longer, so he realized last one had to turn on the lights, he had to transition from Eretz Yisrael to a fixed calendar. So that when that happened, the Rambam writes, that was during the middle of the lifetime of Abai and Rav. During the Kufa Abai and Rav. I think sometimes you can't say because sometimes the Gemara, you have Gemara's Abai and Rav where they assume there is Tveged Yama, sometimes the Gemara's Abai and Rav they assume there is not Tveged Yama, the Rambam said it must be, but the change happened during their Tekufa. It's gorgeous. So that's what you don't hear about Rav Huna or Rav Nachman discussing Sfiras Omer. How did they count Sfiras Omer? You don't hear about Rav and Rav Yosef counting Sfiras Omer. Because according to Dvar Rav, the answer is because they didn't. They didn't. Because they lived during the time of real Sfeiked Yom. So we have never brought a Karban Pesach. We don't have Pesach Mikdash. Never. But it's reality. We can't bring a Karban Pesach. So Dvar Avram held, the major finish of Dvar Avram, that there's no, you cannot count Sfiras Omer B'Safek, not Yotze at all. You're Bavada and not Yotze if you count B'Safek. That's the Dvar Avram's Chiddush. And again, it's all rooted back in this notion that there's a Chiyuv of Sfira. Counting means more just saying words. Counting means continuity. Counting means saying it yourself. Counting means with understanding, and counting means with certainty. So Dvar Avraham says that if there's no certainty, there's vaday, no counting. But when there was real Sveikad Yoma, no one counted Sfiras Omer Chatzaretz. It was an Eretz Yisrael mitzvah. No one in Chatzaretz was eating Truma, and no one in Chatzaretz was counting Sfiras Omer. That's what he says. It says that in the lifetime of Abaye, they said, wow, they start counting Sfiras Omer in Babel for the first time in hundreds of years. They hadn't counted Sfiras Omer in Chatzaretz since the end of the torches. Now they have to figure out how to count Sfiras Omer. Yom Shvuy. So it was a machlokas then. There were no earlier Amoroi Bavel who had hanhagos about that. They didn't do it. Maybe they had discussed it. They didn't do it. So that's why the only ones you hear about counts Sfiras Omer, Taka Baye, Amemar, Abundve Rashi. That was that's perhaps why. Again, it's not a Raya Machrachas. But it certainly, it could be, okay, that in this sugya, Rav Ashi decided only to record these three Amram. Certainly possible. Not proof to Dvar Avraham, but it fits remarkably, remarkably, remarkably well. Remarkably well. And this explains this whole, and all these issues are mutabu machlokas. Let's just be clear. In other words, there are Achron who disagree with Magen Avraham in both of his chidushim about rejecting Shmei Ka'onah and rejecting non-understood Hebrew. There certainly are, number one, the Bahag, most Rishonim don't agree with the Bahag's Psaak, and even if you, and certainly there are Rishonim who didn't understand the Bahag this way, okay, and the Dvar Avraham, also, certainly, there are many other answers, there are other answers to the question of Sveikid Yoma. Not everyone agrees that if you tell the Bahag, the Dvar Avraham is Chiddush LaHalacha, that if you don't know what night it is, there's no point to counting the Safek. But these four Shitos all line up around a consistent approach that this fundamental yisod that Sfiras Omer is not just a mitzvah of amira, it's a mitzvah of sfira, and sfira has to count means something much more than just to say, recite a number. So this completes our second approach.